I'm Mia, and this is Hacker News Daily from the Bree podcast family. Today we're tracking three concrete stories. Anthropic launches Sonnet 5 alongside a new research division called Claude Science that gives outsiders early access to probe for risks.
I'm Milo. We'll also dig into a seller who exposed an internal Amazon bribery network that deletes real negative reviews and buries honest listings. And Loudoun County, Virginia, 37 data centers, where the school board just asked families to cut power use to avoid brownouts.
Claude Science just launched, and this might be the biggest shift in how fast we get AI research since ChatGPT first landed.
Right. It's not a model release. It's a new research division. Their stated goal is to let external safety researchers and labs test frontier capabilities before anything ships publicly.
The timing lines up perfectly with today's other announcement. Claude Sonnet 5 dropped at the same time, and it's already beating GPT-5 on several key benchmarks.
Here's what connects them. The science program gives outsiders early access to models like Sonnet 5 so they can probe for risks that internal red teaming might miss.
And those researchers found something concrete. On a suite of biology-related tasks, like synthesizing novel proteins, Sonnet 5 can now match PhD-level performance.
That's a sharp jump from 6 months ago, when the best models were around undergraduate level on the same tests.
The safety framework is the real story, though. Claude Science operates under a structured access model. Partners get the model, but they can't deploy it or expose it to the open internet during the testing window.
So it's a controlled burn, essentially. You find out how dangerous the capability is before the match ever reaches dry grass.
And Sonnet 5 is actually shipping to Claude Pro users right now, just without the most sensitive biocapabilities that the science partners flagged.
That split between what researchers see and what users get is new. And it tells you exactly where the friction is in AI deployment today.
So Claude code just got caught leaving hidden fingerprints in its API traffic.
What kind of hidden fingerprints?
Deaganographic markers. Extra tokens embedded in the requests that look like normal code, but carry a secret signal.
That sounds like something you'd see in spyware, not a coding assistant. How was this found?
A developer noticed some requests were failing when they stripped trailing white states. That led them to compare raw request bodies and spot extra invisible tokens.
So these weren't accidental formatting quirks. Someone deliberately designed this.
Right. The markers appear to encode a session fingerprint that persists even if you regenerate or re-auth. That makes it survivable, not just a one-off tag.
Which means if a request ends up somewhere it shouldn't, they can trace exactly which session and account it came from.
For the listener, the practical concern is that this happens silently and isn't documented in any user-facing setting.
And if you're working under strict data handling rules, say legal review or a security audit, hidden markers in your outbound traffic could create real exposure you didn't sign up for.
That's the bottom line. The tool is adding data you didn't ask for, and you can't see it. Ever wonder how a 5-star product on Amazon can still turn out to be junk?
Right. And one seller just pulled back the curtain on a whole shadow economy that makes that happen.
What did they actually reveal?
An active seller described a parallel bribery market where bad actors pay insiders to suppress negative reviews, inflate ratings, and even sabotage competitors.
How does a bribery operation like that even work?
The seller detailed how bribes flow through internal Amazon employee channels. Someone on the inside can delete a verified 1-star review within hours.
So a real customer complaint just vanishes.
Exactly. And the same network offers paid-up votes to push glowing but fake reviews to the top of a listing.
That means the star rating a shopper sees is often a paid-for illusion.
The seller also described a darker tactic: paying to flag a competitor's legitimate listing as counterfeit, which triggers an automatic takedown and leaves the honest seller scrambling for weeks.
So it's not just fake praise. It's a weapon against rivals.
And because the bribes target Amazon's own enforcement systems, victims struggle to get anyone to believe the takedown was fraudulent.
What happens to a small seller who cannot pay to play?
They get buried. Honest listings drown under manipulated rankings, or they get knocked offline entirely, while the bribery network sells protection and attacks as a subscription service.
So the real cost lands on both honest sellers and every shopper who trusts those stars.
And right now, the seller who spoke up described it as an open secret that most shoppers never see until the product arrives, and it is nothing like the reviews promised.
What if you could run high-end GPU software without the one brand that owns the market?
That's exactly the promise behind the new Zluda 6 release. It lets you take an unmodified CUDA application, something written solely for NVIDIA hardware, and run it on non-NVIDIA GPUs.
And it doesn't stop at basic compatibility. Zluda translates CUDA calls at the binary level, so developers don't need to touch their original code.
That changes the hardware conversation. An engineering team could run simulation or rendering workloads on whatever accelerators they already have instead of being locked into one vendor's supply chain.
Right. The immediate consequence is about cost and flexibility. Small labs or startups might skip the NVIDIA premium and still get useful performance.
But it's not a universal free pass. Zluda depends on low-level GPU interfaces, so it works best where those interfaces are stable, and there's still a translation overhead.
So the practical ceiling matters. If you're pushing every last teraflop out of a massive cluster, native code still wins.
Exactly. For the long tail of applications that just need to run, though, Zluda 6 opens a door that has been mostly closed.
Which makes this more than a hobbyist toy. It turns graphics and compute software into a much more portable asset. Loudoun County, Virginia has 37 data centers running right now, and another 29 approved or under review.
37. In one county. So why did the school board suddenly send families a note asking everyone to conserve electricity?
That's the tension. The data centers are driving a giant property tax windfall, but the grid here is hitting its limits.
And the board's conservation request wasn't about money. It was a response to Dominion Energy warning that transmission constraints could force rolling brownouts this summer.
Short version. Even with massive data center tax revenue pouring in, the schools had to dial back power use to keep the lights on for everyone else.
For listeners, that's a concrete reminder that a county can add huge commercial demand faster than the physical grid can upgrade.
So when you hear a municipality rave about data center tax benefits, the real question is how fast the wires can actually catch up. Here's something I have not seen before. A U.S. ambassador calling local police to stop a journalist from doing their job.
Stop them from what, exactly?
The ambassador reportedly flagged a Belgian reporter to the police, claiming the journalist was causing a disturbance by asking questions during a public event in Brussels.
So they were not trespassing. They were asking questions at a space where the ambassador chose to appear.
Right. The journalist outlet says officers then demanded they stop filming and delete the material, and the publication argues that amounted to preventing their reporting.
That is a steep line to cross for an envoy, using local law enforcement to shut down a foreign reporter's access.
And here's the concrete risk. If that boundary sticks, other journalists on the ground may decide it is not safe to cover U.S. officials at all.
So the practical consequence is less scrutiny of diplomatic events, not just one lost clip.
Exactly. That is the worry the publication is raising, even though we only have their account so far. When you store your 499 on your phone, the device needs to prove it isn't compromised before unlocking sensitive data.
Right. The proposed European digital identity wallets would lean on the same device integrity checks that already exist.
And whose infrastructure runs those checks?
Google's safety net and Apple's device attestation services.
So even a sovereign European wallet can't open without a real-time OK from Cupertino or Mountain View.
Exactly. If either company flags the device, the wallet stays locked, regardless of what the European issuer wants.
That means two non-European platforms become silent gatekeepers for government-issued identity across the continent.
And the consequence is concrete. No fallback is specified that removes that dependency from the wallet's core security model.
Staying on hardware builds, a maker just documented their scratch-built millimeter wave material classification radar and shared the raw waveforms.
What can it actually tell apart with a home lab budget?
Over short range, the radar reads reflection magnitude and phase shift. Then a trained model separates metal, wood, water, and a few plastics.
So it's not just a presence sensor, it's making a material call from the RF signature.
Right. The write-up shows repeatable cluster separations, though accuracy drops with thin layers or irregular surfaces.
That matters for anyone tinkering with drone payloads or industrial sorting. Low-cost material sensing without a camera or spectrometer.
And the whole design is open, from the 60 GHz radar module to the classification code. The share of U.S. national income going to workers has quietly fallen to a new post-World War II low. And it's not just a pandemic blip that's already reversed.
That surprised me. If wages have been growing strongly, how can the labor share keep shrinking?
A big part of the answer is that GDP is growing faster than wage and benefit costs combined. Even though total employee compensation is rising in dollar terms, it's rising more slowly than the economy as a whole. So the fraction going to labor keeps edging down.
So companies are collectively earning more income, but a smaller piece of that larger pie is turning into paychecks.
Exactly. The data show the labor share slipping to roughly its lowest mark in the post-war record, and the trend continued after the sharp swings of 2020, 2021. It's now a multi-year pattern, not a one-time shock.
That's a tricky combination. Strong headline growth with a shrinking piece for the people who produce it. It suggests more of the gains go to capital or stay inside firms, which could widen household gaps even when GDP looks healthy.
A shrinking labor share alongside strong GDP means the gains aren't landing evenly. And that pattern is now multi-year, not a one-time shock.
Thanks for listening to Hacker News Daily from Bree. We'll be back tomorrow.